Welcome back to another episode of the Roblox Podcast. We've got Coop, Cap, and Kenny today, and we are joined by Jerome Hunter Fan Club. We'll talk about cheese, sprinting, and the color gray. Stay tuned. Alongside Kenny Freese and Jason Meyer, they call him Cap. My name's Coop Ledford. Welcome back to the Roblox Podcast. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, and we're joined by Xavier Twitter royalty. Jerome Hunter Fan Club is his name, his God-given name. Fan Club, how are you?
Christian.
What are we? We're about 19 hours and 2 minutes till game time. Let's go.
Yeah.
I do have to stop the presses real quick. Coop, I thought it was date night tonight. What the heck are you doing here, buddy?
It was definitely date night tonight, but once I heard that Fan Club was going to be on Roblox, I told her to get lost. So I'm single again, but here we are talking to Fan Club, so I cannot complain.
I mean, you don't pass up on an opportunity like this.
Not like this.
It only happens at least twice a year.
That's easy money, boys.
I appreciate that.
Well, you are the honorable Mr. Jerome Hunter Fan Club. I'm really excited to talk to Jerome. We are going to interview him a little bit later about kind of his perspective and just kind of a Xavier group therapy session. It's been a little toxic out there, fellas. I think we can all agree on that. But the number one pressing story right now is the Sean Miller show from last night. Paul Frischner, our friend, good guy, known canon, Paul Frischner, tweeted some sound clips, and they got a little intense, fellas.
Yeah, that they did. For anyone who didn't hear it, Sean on his radio show was pretty much just saying that he was very displeased with the amount of effort or lack thereof from his perspective in the Marquette game. Basically was going on to say that there's going to be some players that he doesn't think are really going to play that much going forward. He mentioned that's why he brought Colbert in with 7.5 minutes left. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see what the starting lineup's going to be against DePaul and who's going to get minutes. So obviously he is frustrated. I think he's kind of at the point now where he's beyond trying to fix certain things, and he's just really wanting to see effort out of guys.
Yeah. Jerome, you have anything to add on that?
It's just interesting because I don't want to bring in other quotes, but if you'd listen to the most recent Sean Miller podcast, right, with Adam and Paul, they talked about, you know, during the practices and stuff that, you know, their practices aren't like necessarily like really different, right? Like same like sort of effort level, I guess, is how you would describe it. You know, same sort of, it's been, you know, run of the mill. There hasn't been anything like wild. It's not like they're doing suicides the entire time. So I think just, at least from my perspective, it's just an interesting disconnect between like what's going on in practices and what just seems to fall apart in these games, because I just don't, there just seems to be a massive disconnect that from what they're practicing and what they're doing, it's not translating whatsoever to the floor. And it just seems to fall apart within 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Kenny. Kenny, when you hear a walk-on's going in the game with 7 minutes left, hearing effort stuff, guys aren't giving enough, I don't know if guys are going to play here going forward with this little season left, what are your thoughts from those comments?
So first of all, I want to say walk-on coming in with 7 minutes left, I've got to give out a shout out to my boy Kevin Feeney. He used to come in, he used to get some meaningful minutes back in the day. Let's not forget, people forget that.
People do.
But you know, I had tweeted something out about this, and I think that what these guys need to understand is that these games, you know, getting towards the end of the season here, we're getting really close to Xavier is no longer, there's no possibility they can make the tournament. I would say we're 99% there. You know, there's still that 1% chance that they win out, win the Big East tournament, whatever it is. But these guys have to understand that what they're doing right now, even if they don't think that Xavier is their place they're going to be next year, or if they're angry with Coach Miller and they're like, I should be playing more, or he doesn't understand why I'm doing this, or whatever it is, they have to understand that these moments and these tough points of the season are, they're basically an interview for next year. And that comes from Colbert coming in and getting time. Like he had mentioned in the one Sean Miller podcast that he wants to go try and play D2 next year, 'cause he's got another year of eligibility, right? Like stuff like that. And him coming in, obviously, like he's going to be pumped to play just 'cause he doesn't really get the minutes and things like that. But when you're talking about guys like Kachi, who is, you never know what his future is going to be. Does he come back to Xavier next year with hopefully Fremantle and Hunter coming back, or Chani, or there's so many people that you're looking at and you're saying, these guys need to give effort because they're basically trying out for other teams if that's their plan to go somewhere next year. So these games might not mean anything to them in the moment because they're saying, like, you know, maybe they're saying screw this or screw that, whatever it is. But they have to understand that regardless of if this game is meaningful to them, it will be meaningful to their career and where what they do next year.
1,000%. And I've heard, you know, those reputations can stick with you. I mean, if you quit on the team this season, I mean, they're going to call the coaches. You know, if you're trying to transfer next year, they're going to call Coach Miller and be like, so what's up with this guy? He quit on us. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the season, that's going to stick with you. So I think the DePaul game is going to be telling, like, who gets minutes, who doesn't. I think we might see a player or two. I think you can speculate on who he was talking about, but I think we'll see a player or two get a huge drop in minutes. Just to send a message. You know, I think we might get some Colbert time. I would like to know if Adam Baum's in the gym tonight getting up shots. Right. If he has eligibility, I mean, you talk about electric. Could you imagine him taking a warm-up off? And
yeah.
Oh, man. You think he's about to do the ball toss, and he just looks at Paul and says, not doing that. I'm going in the game. And you see a Baum, maybe 60-pound jersey or something like that.
Yes. Right. I can now, just see him just, like, taking his warm-up off. Yeah.
I got a question for you, though. Baum or Paul getting called out in the starting lineup of Xavier's team, who gets a bigger cheer?
Bigger cheer,
Paul. I think from the crowd, right? Paul. You think Frischner?
Paul. Cheer, I think, yeah.
Okay.
But I think electric would be Baum.
I think AB is just more of an underdog type of story. I think people are going to get behind that. So I don't know. I think that Cintas might shock you there.
I don't know. I could also see Paul getting booed. I'm not going to lie.
Because he is a known dog hater.
Well, that, and you know how many little kids are wanting one of those Joseph Otto Group balls, and he does not get them to those kids? So, right. Yeah, I mean, there might be some boos sprinkled in there. I'm not saying that I would boo, but it would just depend on the moment.
I would boo. I'm not saying I wouldn't boo.
Just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Eastbound and Down?
No.
I could see Baum giving us some big Eastbound and Down energy, just coming out with, like, the fist bumps. Yeah. You know, right. Joseph Otto Group balls in hand. He comes out of the court, chucks a couple, mullet, you know. Oh, dude.
Kenny Powders, yeah.
Exactly. Baum would be insane. but it's going to be an interesting stretch here, fellas. And I think for me, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, we talk about mindset stuff, no Providence talk, obviously. I just don't want to see the team quit. You know, because obviously next season starts now, you know, and there are a lot of guys on this team that are going to be here next year. And I think you just want to keep a positive outlook. You know what I mean? And hey, this is a part of the process. Sometimes you're going to take your lumps. This was a young team. You know, we were depending on a freshman who averaged 4.5 points last year. It's like, this is a young team. Well, he was freshman last year.
The reason I made that face was I was thinking, does Xavier have the youngest team in the NCAA? It has to be close, if not.
Got to be 99th percentile, you would think. I'm sure with the transfer portal, there's a lot more turnover, but, I mean, it doesn't get much younger than that. I can't think of a Xavier team that has returned this little in my lifetime.
You're bringing back one – or you're losing one guy to eligibility being up. You have – and then you have maybe not youngest, but definitely least experienced.
Yeah, in terms of maybe minutes played – yeah, maybe. I mean, minus Quincy.
Right.
So,
and then, too, it's like we were not planning on missing two all Big East caliber players. Like, this is – and I'm sorry. It's like, obviously, you roll with what you got and the standard doesn't change. But, obviously, there's going to be a different outlook if you have two players that are all Big East level caliber. Like, this probably would have been a fringe top 25 team, seven-ish seed, you know, give or take. So,
right. And that's the one thing that people have been saying. I mean, they weren't saying it in the beginning of the year as much, but now you're even getting guys like Paul coming out on the spaces, and you're here. I listen to those spaces every game, you know, and you're hearing it more and more and more as the games go on. The team doesn't have a front court, right? And so, like, when you, it's not just that these are two Big East players; it's that they're two Big East front court players, right? Like, that's the big distinguishing factor there. That is so it would make such a huge difference on this team to have some experience down low.
And then this is the double-edged sword of the Big East, right? It's like if we were in the A-10, maybe you have enough games where you can build up your confidence and kind of hit that launch point. Because I remember watching that in the A-10 days, as we'd struggle real hard. It would take about 4, 5, 6 A-10 games, then it would click. You know what I mean? But yeah. The Big East is merciless, man. I mean, and when you're losing 18 by 18 game in and game out, you can't get confidence. You know, you go into the next game expecting the same result. So that's a double-edged sword.
Especially the teams, yeah. Especially the teams you already have beat once this year. That's the thing that is so frustrating to me, is watching them lose to Providence and watching them lose to Seton Hall. And I know that they were away games and, you know, in home games when they won, but, you know, that's when I really start seeing these guys are giving up at the end of those games. Like, they had legitimate chances to break both of those games open, and they just weren't able to do it, and they just gave up because they knocked on the door one time, they broke it, and it was over.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and move forward here on this, but I will tell you, if you want to get the fan base to a low point, it would be losing at home against DePaul. You talk about
toxicity. Why would you even bring that up?
Man, and hold on. I don't want to say anything negative, but I am stating a fact. Xavier is wearing gray jerseys against DePaul.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. Oh, give me that. Give me gray jerseys against DePaul. Oh, let's be freaky.
Dude, there is a sicko behind Cintas's walls right now. What the heck?
Give me that. I love the gray jerseys. I'm here for the chaos.
I'm in the same boat as you.
They look good. I just don't always like what's associated with that. And for everyone listening and not watching on YouTube, when I said gray jerseys, Cap and Kenny both had the same reaction and put their hands behind their head in full panic mode. So,
no, I wasn't in panic. I was not in panic mode. I was. This was the Roll Blob Boys are not going to like this.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a fan of the grays. I'm not a big fan of, well, never mind.
Here we go.
Yeah, well, when you wore the gray, Kenny, your teams were phenomenal. Like, that was associated with winning over the last few years.
But we had two Holloway, so.
Well, minor details, you know, minor details. But we got a Wednesday night game, DePaul, under 500 for the first time in, man, I don't even know.
Since the turn of the century.
DePaul's been under 500 for a while, Coop.
right. You meant what I knew. And we got gray jerseys. So, man, it'll be something. It will be something.
It will definitely be something. Can confirm. So, let's go ahead and move on to – I think we got to talk about it. Like, we haven't officially talked about it on a podcast.
I think a good way to segue into this would be, JFC, why did you change – your tag on Twitter, on X, I'm sorry.
That was great.
Well, you know, I just, if let's just put out the potential, you know, feeler that one day, you know, if Coach Miller ever wanted to leave or whatever, let's just say this, he's never going to get his number in Coach Miller. Like, it's just, I have that. So, you know, can't leave. So shout out Kai Muskie for the amazing idea to steal every OS.
Yeah.
Shout. I think I laughed at my screen for 10 minutes. And then
it's just like buying domains, you know, just buy them all up and hope that some billionaire needs one day and you just sell it to him. It's easy.
Well, then I start looking up, like, I'm like, well, man, what do like every coach is used? I'm going through like every Big East coach to see which handle, like how they, I was like, we're figuring this out. I don't get a database going. He doesn't have a chance.
We'll share a Google Doc.
Thank you.
We'll get it going. We'll just use AI to figure them all out.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully Oklahoma State or Oregon State don't hire a new coach also named Miller soon in any sport.
otherwise, mean, that's, yeah, that's just collateral damage, though.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how it plays out. Good move, though. Good move.
Epic stuff from Kai Muskie. But let's go ahead and talk about this whole deal. And we do want to state that we don't have any sources. Kenny has not been funneling information from inside the bowels of CentOS. I don't know why. That's such a fun word to say. But it just is. So be it. But anyway, we don't know anything about anything. This is just our perspective as fans. And I will just start real quickly by saying, like, I just can't see this happening in year two at Xavier. I just can't see it.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, I don't see it at Ohio State. And unfortunately, like, as Xavier fans, this is just something we have to go through a lot. Like, it happened a few times with Coach Mack. It'll happen again with Coach Miller. This won't be the last time. Anytime an upper half Power 6 team job comes open, his name's going to be rumored. I don't see it being Ohio State. I don't see it being this soon. I'm not saying he'll be here forever or retire at Xavier. That's just me saying that. But I don't think he's making the trip up 71 after this season.
I hear all these people saying, like, well, if it, like, you know, anytime these jobs come open, like, in my opinion, the people the people that have those thoughts are, number one, people that aren't Xavier fans, because the only people that don't think that Xavier is a top perennial basketball program are people that are not Xavier fans. And there's a portion of the Xavier fan base, I guess, that maybe thinks that as well. There's maybe, like, I don't know what job he could get right now that would be better than what if Xavier's able to give him the resources, right? What brand out there is better than Xavier? Xavier is literally, like, Xavier is basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no other school out there. Duke, maybe, but, like, even Duke and North Carolina now, their football teams are getting better, and it's like a whole the ACC football is getting better, and just all this stuff, right? Xavier is basketball, and it will always be basketball, and it's the basketball program in Cincinnati.
Can I say one thing real quick? This is off the wall. Can we just be thankful for 1 second that we're not UMass? Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Listen, I live in MAC country, right? And I have a lot of respect for guys that play in the MAC, and I know a lot of really good players that played in the MAC. But, like, man, that is such an odd move. It's an
UMass odd versus move. Ball State, UMass, yeah. Toledo, like, that just doesn't sound right.
I mean, yeah. UMass is such a, in my opinion, they have a storied program, you know, like,
absolutely.
They're in the, I don't know what I'm not, I don't want to trash the MAC because that's not what I'm
just,
about.
I just want to say, I'm just thankful that we don't have that football, like, and you've seen it with UConn, and how many schools does football have a massive impact on basketball? And I'm just thankful that we don't have that.
Right. And that's why, I think that is a huge thing for a coach. You're coming here and you are the big boy at the university. There's nobody that's above you, no sport that's more important. The fan base is just rabid for Xavier basketball. There's not many other schools in the country that can give you that. Like, Duke isn't Duke anymore. North Carolina is not North Carolina. I mean, like, Kansas maybe, right? Probably Kansas. But, like, there's not a lot of schools that are like that left. And if Xavier is able to go to a Final Four and win a national championship, you're not telling me that this is not a top five job in the country.
Yeah, and I'll just say one thing that I think is funny is thinking about the athletic director fielding calls from Frank Martin right now. Frank Martin is probably so upset, and he's not a fun guy to deal with when he's upset, it seems like. Poof, that must be an interesting situation. The bowels of UMass are probably not as fun as the bowels of CentOS right now.
Oh, Marcus Walters is pissed. I think you guys know that Marcus graduated from UMass.
That's right, he did.
He's a minute man in more ways than one is what he's always said. But
that's what I've heard. Yeah, that's just
– he's upset. But I mean, that is a good point, though, because UMass, like, it is a basketball school, and their basketball team probably actually will benefit in some way from being in the MAC. They will be the big dog. They will make the tournament more often. But the decision was made based on football. And with Big East schools, minus UConn, they have a great football program. Nothing is being mentioned about that. So it is truly just basketball. And like you said, Kenny, you go anywhere else, really in any of the five other power conferences, and football at the end of the day is still bringing in most of the money, with the exception of, I don't know, probably a dozen schools or so.
Yeah, And of those dozen schools, I don't see a lot of it, a lot of, you know, giant basketball, like really good programs with fan bases that are, I mean, just look at what the fan, and I don't want to get into the whole thing about NIL, Final 2%, all that stuff, but just look at what the fan base has done since they heard that there's even an inkling that Miller might be leaving. Their first thought process for probably, I don't know, 70% of Xavier fans said, what can we do to help? This, it's never been easier to go out and help Xavier with the resources they need to make NIL negotiations, all those different things. Look at what they did. And that has to be something that Miller's looking at like, damn, like these guys, they're behind me. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's not Ohio State. Ohio State basketball is like, if it's good, great. If not, all right, whatever.
The best tweet that I've seen since this Miller thing came out was like, right now the Xavier message boards are, please don't go anywhere, Miller. And the Ohio State message boards are, we just got a new linebacker coach. Like they don't get, they don't care. They don't care that they're going to, they could get a top five coach in the country and they don't care.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you right now.
And at Ohio State, they are not making t-shirts with Jerome Hunter Fan Club's seal or logo on it.
Another L.
Look back at what Rick said publicly about, you know, there might be some frustrations with the administration. It's like, why would Sean Miller want to go to a university in which it's a state school? So you have to deal with all those issues. You have to deal with the fact that football will always be the number one concern. You're going to deal with the fact too, that you're just, you have a fan base that is going to be more passionate about funding football. Like it doesn't make any logical standpoint from that. And yes, there's always going to be the rumors that he might go up, and yes, Sean Miller could get to a Final Four at Ohio State. Yeah. But he is much more likely to have all the control he needs at Xavier to do that, where at Ohio State, he is going to be hamstrung purely based off of if Ohio State football has a good year or not. Because if he doesn't have a good year, the NIL money is not going to him. It's simple as that. It's going to football.
I mean, and I kind of wonder, I mean, there's so much about NIL and just like the way that schools disperse it and how it's brought in and how they separate it between the sports and stuff. Like, is for at Ohio State, for example, is it something where they just bring the money in? They're like, all right, now this money is going to, or do people actually donate and say like, this is going to basketball NIL. I want this to go to football NIL.
It's more specific. It pretty much is 99% of it is going to football. They have a huge NIL collective called the Foundation, and they, of course, have NIL deals with basketball and stuff, but literally 99% of it is going towards football. Football
but
players. There,
but is it possible to say, like, okay, if a guy came in and was like, I want to give $5 million, but I want it only to go to the basketball program, are they able to do that?
I'd assume so. I don't know for sure, but I think probably.
I mean, Ohio State's offensive line is going to cost more than three or four Big East basketball teams.
Oh, 100%.
So, Q, you said 99% goes to football.
Yes.
So, is there a basketball one called the Final 1%? Xavier's is literally double Ohio State's. Why the heck would you leave?
Double.
It's called double. Sell football tickets, and we'll give the rest to basketball.
We're going to get double.
He's going to score.
What percentage will they get? 50? I don't know. 50. We'll see.
Here's my final thoughts on that. So I guess I'm just kind of thinking big picture here. It's like Sean's got to be thinking big picture. It's like, okay, I was at Arizona. There was something that was tough for my image. And then I come back to my school that kind of gave me my initial shot, right? And it's like, if you do that publicly, and I think all the stuff that he's invested in the program, he's doing the Sean Miller podcast, and he's inviting back former players and really embracing this role. I just cannot see the optics of just coming back like that, getting another shot, and leaving after year two for Ohio State that's in shambles. Like, don't get me wrong. If Duke is knocking, and here's the great spot that Xavier's in, it's like, one, like Kenny said, this is a really, really good job. There are probably somewhere in the ballpark of 15 to 20, maybe objectively better jobs that could pay more and that have higher profiles. But we're in a great spot of like, any job that Sean could get would be really, really, really hard to get. Like any school that he would leave for, like Duke, Carolina, Kansas, like they're getting whatever the heck they want. You know what I mean? Like, so we're in a sweet zone of like, okay, he wouldn't leave for many schools, and there's also not many schools that he could really go to. You know what I mean? It's like, so I feel like we're kind of in this Goldilocks zone. So that's kind of my thought process. I cannot see him optically leaving for Ohio State in year two.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's like going back to what Cap said. It's like if he wanted to fix his image and get back into the thing and figure it out, he goes to South Carolina. Like he's not going to Cincinnati building a house when he's passing up nice warm weather and being able to coast an easy SEC basketball country. It's like that simple. And he's not, it's no, the idea that he would like ruin and tarnish like his image as Xavier and go down probably as like the most hated guy in Xavier history when he could just totally miss that, save his image and go to South Carolina. Like it, there's just, at the end of the day, there's not many things, like there are not as much hard evidence that truly points to him going there. And to be honest, probably the biggest factor we talk about this is just given the performance. It's as simple as that. The performance of the team is why we think so negatively and why we want to, you know, force so much thought into these rumors when they're purely just rumors. There's no evidence whatsoever.
I completely agree. And when you, like, this is something that I brought up to Paul. I was talking to Paul either texting or on the phone. I can't remember, but the fact that this all start, like the big part of the rumor started happening right after the Seton Hall game. Like, yep. Ohio State's coach was getting fired. Everybody knew he was getting fired from probably day one of the offseason last year. Like he would have had to go to the, he would have had to go to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, do something crazy to keep his job. Right? He was 95% out the door, and you're telling me that they didn't even put out a message to Miller before the, you know, 3 days before the Seton Hall game. Like why did that all start? It started because of the Seton Hall game. They, like, people were quitting. You had people that were complaining that Miller wasn't as fiery as maybe he usually is. That one guy on Paul's spaces after the game. That, to me, that's where it all comes from. You're exactly right. It's just because the team's not doing well. If the team, if they were top 10 right now, nobody's talking about like, oh, maybe Miller's going to Ohio State. You know what I mean? So it's just, that's the whole thing. That's what frustrates me the most, is just this knee-jerk reaction by a lot of the fan base, which I'm surprised about, because I feel like I understand Miller left before, whatever. I was there, right? I was in the locker room when he told us that they were leaving. I know what that feels like. I have zero information. I have nothing that I can give you guys right now that says that I know he's coming back. But if I had to put my money on it, I would say he's coming back.
Can I say one last thing? I wonder often, like, so let's say this is 2005. Like, none of this is even a thing. Like, I wonder how many things happened like back in the day that just didn't get talked about. But like the social media, just like pressure cooker and social media and message boards and all this stuff, it just turns it into this toxic mess. Cause it's like, you gotta wonder in like the 90s, early 2000s, like how many things like this were going on that no one even knew about or like a non-issue.
Well, that's the thing. Back in the day, it was like the worst thing that could happen was you found out your coach was leaving on ESPN. You know what I mean? Like, there was nobody tweeting it out saying like, you know, so-and-so's leaving, or I mean, Facebook was around, but it wasn't like it is today. So like, you're right though. That would be the worst thing, is like, if you found out on ESPN, that's when you would feel disrespected if your coach didn't.
Dude, that dates us. I was at the Reds game for the first time Sean Miller left. It was my first opening day. And me, my dad, and my brother get the ESPN notification on our phones. Like, Sean Miller's left for Arizona. Like, completely blindsided. Like, that would never happen today. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I remember whenever he left, you couldn't just go and tweet that you're angry. So I wrote a letter. You know, I just wrote a letter and just threw it out there.
You just put a stamp on it and write Sean Miller on it? No address, nothing?
Yeah, I was a little guy. I just said, Xavier. Just put it in the mailbox.
Nice. Did you kiss it with blue lipstick?
Yeah, I only had purple at the time. I'm a little colorblind, but I've been told it was violet lipstick.
That'll work.
I've been trying to find some periwinkle.
I have
That's elite.
Periwinkle's a nice color.
Yeah,
I have some periwinkle Crocs. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, I'm aware. But
elite.
Kind of our next topic here is the outlook on the rest of the season. We don't have much of it left, but still games to be played, and just kind of the current mental state as a Xavier fan, fan club. Let's start with you. What's your mindset just right now, and how are you looking at it from a fan's perspective to close out the season?
You know, when you know, I'm probably not the best representative because I'm an optimist by nature. So like I find trouble in getting myself so like upset to where the point where like I'll stop watching them because of how bad they are and stuff compared to other people. Like I just don't believe in that and stuff. But personally for me, I think my mindset's more, I'm not surprised at necessarily where we're at. I just think I'm surprised with how we've gotten ourselves here. Like, I think if you're going to be honest with yourselves at the beginning of the season, right, you wouldn't be surprised at how this has shaken out. Yeah, the couple of non-conference losses, right? You know, the couple of nail biters at home or away. Like, yeah, you're going to have those like in any given season, right, where you think you could have won and that kind of thing. But you can't truly sit here and act surprised at how this thing came out. What you can be upset about is what's come out recently with the effort, with the motivation, with all these kinds of things, you know, where you just see this team kind of like, I mean, that Providence game is, I think, was like my first feeling of like, man, like this team just does not have that X factor whatsoever, or at least currently. I don't know if I want to say for the entire season, but like that, it just, and it was clockwork too, right? It just felt like seasons prior and a couple years ago where it just felt like, man, like they're going to do something where they're just going to get out of this game. And it happens like clockwork. So I'm not surprised with the result. I'm just surprised at how we got to the result, I guess is how I put it. Frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, I think my outlook for the rest of the season is, you know, we're going to get to see guys that weren't getting minutes get some more minutes. And, you know, I think that can be, you know, a breath of fresh air in itself, just kind of looking forward to the future, getting guys game experience for next year. And I think that you're going to see, and I mean, I don't know, but I would think if I was in Miller's shoes and, you know, I had this giant group of guys that are coming back next year, maybe not coming back next year, they got to go to the portal and get some guys, whatever it is, he's going to be throwing guys into positions where he's saying, okay, like I've watched what you do in practice. Let's see what you do in a game and see if I do feel like you're an OKG, right? Like I think that's where you're going to start to see this season go. And, you know, maybe we find some success in that. Maybe you find some type of synergy between some players that haven't necessarily gotten minutes together or whatever it is. And, you know, that kind of feeling of like they have nothing to lose anymore. Nobody expects them to make the tournament. Nobody expects them to win. You know, I mean, I expect them to beat Georgetown. I expect them to beat DePaul. I expect them to beat Butler. If they, you know, those things. But if they go out and they're able to take care of Marquette at home, you know, Quincy Oliveri senior night, like that's going to be a big bump in morale just, you know, doing it for Quincy. Because, you know, Quincy came to the team that Quincy came to is not the team that he's playing with. So, you know, I would love to see him. I just wanted to see him in the tournament. That's the one thing that for this season that really frustrates me is that he's not going to get that feeling of being in the tournament, wearing a Xavier uniform, and just like seeing the fans travel and all that stuff. Like it's such, the Xavier fan base is so awesome. And whenever we went to the tournament, it was like, I swear, I felt like we were playing home games sometimes. Like there was so many people there. The students were crazy. I mean, I can remember walking into games and guys that I used to hang out with on campus, just like students and stuff. I mean, they're at the gym before we got there and they're just standing there ready to go, you know, like that feeling is so awesome. And I really wanted Quincy to have that. And, you know, there's still, I'll never give up hope until we lose that game, until we lose in the Big East tournament. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, being the constant optimist that I am, like, that's still my outlook. I want to see guys come in and prove to the fans, to their teammates, to Miller, that they deserve to be there and, you know, hopefully find some success in that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I got a couple things on that. One, you're so right about the NCAA tournament. Like, it is absolutely electric. Like, especially even going as a Xavier fan, like when you are there in that environment, we have to do that one of these years, fellas. Like, go to an in-game. Oh, it's so much. It's insane. No feeling like that.
I've never been to a game as a fan before.
Dude, that was, can I tell that story real quick of when we were live podcasting?
Oh, yeah.
So we were live podcasting up in the upper deck in the barracks, And then so we had courtside seats, not to brag, by the way. Helps to
It's to brag.
It was a brag. It was completely a brag. Helps to know Kenny Freeze. And then so we're up at the barracks and like the game's about to start. And Kenny's like, how are we gonna get down there? And me and Cooper are like, what the heck's going on? And it took me like 5 seconds.
Well, no, it was because Liz didn't have the media pass. We could have taken the elevator down.
Oh, right? Fair.
But in my head, I was like, shoot, we're not gonna be able to get Liz back there to the elevator.
I know. And like we literally took the stairs, boom, like right there. Yeah, right. It was just so funny. But that's such a crazy thing about your perspective, Kenny, is it's like we're up in the woods, like it's such a different perspective for you. Like,
oh yeah.
You've never done that kind of stuff. It's cool to watch you do it.
It was fun going up there and seeing Ian and all those guys and just getting that like that feeling up there, because it really is just like a bar up there, you know. So it's like it's an interesting way to watch a game. And you know, they always say there's not a bad seat in CentOS. So I kind of agree with them after watching the game from, you know, four or five different perspectives. Obviously, courtside's a lot of fun, but everywhere else is good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel you, Kenny. There are those players that are just special, like just from what they bring energetically, that you just want to have that moment, you know. Like it was great to watch Kunkel have his moment last year, right? And Jerome had his moment, you know, so easy to root for. Pretty much won us that first round game. I'm not just saying that because Jerome's on, but I just Quincy, like Tyreek is one of those that always hurts for me. Like Tyreek never got like his like senior year, you know, NCAA tournament moment. But I would love to see. But you're like you said, nothing's happened. I mean, Georgetown did it. Why can't we do it?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
because you do have a guy like Quincy that can. I mean. You have a guy like Quincy that can go off and get 40 points. They can, if Quincy scores 40, they can beat anybody. So at the end of the day, you know, that's not something that we would want to ever bank on, is having us needing a player to score 40 points to win games. But, you know, back against the wall, you got to just throw something. Like if it works, it works, you know?
Yeah. It's something we can pray for at least.
I used to pray for times like this. And then too, like we were talking about before the stream, Kenny, like next season starts now. I'm sure Sean already has ideas of like who he's wanting to move forward with next year, who he's trying to develop for next season. And it's like we can return almost anybody other than Quincy. So it's like that can be dangerous. Like when you return that many guys and then plus bringing back Jerome and Zach potentially, like, and a good recruiting class, you know, Jonathan Powell, like we could be nasty next year. So next season starts now. So for me, it's just like, I'm thinking for the future. It's not even just about this year. Like, I think it's going to be fun to watch us grow. We got Daylon in the starting lineup. You look at, like, Daylon, Trey had a nice game. Like, I'm really watching those guys because they could be crazy sophomores.
And I don't envy the guys that have to make these decisions about, you know, if a guy's not coming back and it's not by his choice. Because I would assume that there may be a couple of those. I really don't know, but I would assume that there may be. And – you know, being in that war room of like, you know, who are we going to recruit? And if we recruit, then whose spot is he taking? And, you know, that I don't envy that at all, because that's going to be a tough situation, because regardless of how the season goes, the performance of a player or whatever it is, you went through an off season with them. You went through, you know, whatever it is, 110 practices over the season. You're seeing each other every single day for a year. No matter what you feel about them as a player, it's still going to be a difficult emotional decision to make, to say like, okay, I don't think we're going to move forward with you.
Yeah.
So that's going to be rough.
Yeah. And then as we wrap overall Xavier mentality, this is my daily reminder that we went to the Sweet 16 last season, and we had a freshman that's the only returning player that averaged 4.5 points a year. Horns always down. And I mean, like, for me, that like kind of like curbed my appetite a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, obviously we want to keep growing and keep building, but like just to be back there, just, oh, like being back where Xavier belongs, like second weekend, like,
right.
Oh, like, and I would kind of understand a little bit more, like if Xavier like maybe either made the tournament and got upset in the first round or didn't make the tournament last year. Yeah. Let's freak out. You know what I mean? Like, let's go ballistic right now. But guys, like we have a top 15, top 10 coach in the country. Went to the Sweet 16 last year. Two all Big East caliber players were hurt. Like let's keep it in perspective a little bit. We're probably gonna be really good next year.
Well, that's the thing that drives me crazy right now, is that the people that think like this program's like on like a cliff.
Right.
That like,
oh, I know.
And like the thing that I keep hearing thrown out is that, oh, five of the last six five of the last six tournaments we haven't made, right? And it's like, okay, like, yeah, that's right. But like, let's take a step back and like understand that four of those were like different circumstances with a different coach, with a different mindset, like without NIL, like so many different things. And I understand, I'm not trying to throw strays at, you know, Steele or anything like that, but like to compare like his tenure and what's happened in these 2 years to Miller is first of all, wild. Like you look like every era of Xavier basketball is defined by the coach. So yeah, we didn't make it those 4 years, but to lump that into, to these 2 years and try to like give some sort of like health report on where Xavier is based off of that is wild. The second thing too, is that we also got to like understand how, like how much like we didn't overhype him, but other people overhyped some of these players coming into the year. The one that comes off the top of the mind is Lazar, right? And I'm not trying to hate on Lazar, but Lazar
I overhyped him for sure.
Yeah, everyone did.
And I'm still overhyping him because I think he's still be super really
talented.
Yeah.
You're looking at Lazar, right? Who had hype off the wazoo. Desmond Claude, and don't get me wrong, Desmond Claude is still a baller, right? There's obviously like a lot of room for growth with him, right? He's only a sophomore, but I mean, we were told that like he was the leader of the team going into this year, and obviously that did not materialize. Whatever, right? You had two Europeans who we literally did not know what we were going to get whatsoever. I mean, there were discussions at the beginning of the year that Kachi was going to be the, and apologize if I butchered that, he was going to be the starting center. Like, we can't like sit back here and be like, man, we got all these things wrong, and then also be like, well, why are we so bad in this? It's like, you know, things can be said by national media members and other things, and they can't, and they don't have to pan out. It's not like any of those players outside of Dez had really anything to go off of. And to be honest, you kind of look at the situation, you're like, well, to be honest, again, we hit the transfer portal almost out of the home run. I mean, if you're not going to count the Europeans, I mean, Quincy has been a very net positive. Davion still has another year. And I mean, that kid balls. Like that kid's probably been the most consistent player on the team this entire year and doesn't get any sort of credit because he's not, you know, he's not scoring a crap ton like Quincy or does. It's like, I just, it frustrates me when I see people freak out online acting as if like we somehow had a perfect team at the beginning of the year when all we had was Jeff Goodman and John Fantas saying really nice things about the players. And we took that and ran with it. Like that's all fine and dandy, but like, let's not act as if like we're about to fall off a cliff and Xavier basketball is about to go below another tier solely because of what national media members say. Like, and then don't be like too, like, well, Sean said this, like Sean's going to want to hype up his players. Sean wants his players to think they're very good. Yeah. Not now. That's a different story, but.
And we were pretty good to start this. Like, honestly, I thought we exceeded expectations until about 6-7 games ago.
Well, and let's be honest too. This was the thing I keep thinking of. How many times did Sean Miller at the beginning of the year say, you know, come February, come March, this is when this team's going to be really good. And it didn't come out. But like,
not yet.
Well, not yet, obviously. Obviously. 8-0 run coming inbound, right? Right, Tal?
It ain't over.
But you can't sit here and take someone's words. Like, yeah, Sean, whatever Sean Miller says, I will believe in, like, it's like a Bible verse from Jesus Christ himself, right? Don't get me wrong. But I'm also not going to sit here and be like, man, Sean Miller was wrong. Let me get really frustrated. Oh, man, I'd be happy if Sean Miller left. Because people are putting that out there, which is like absolutely ridiculous. Like,
you touched on it, Jerome. I saw a tweet somewhere along the lines of like, we really got to figure it out this offseason and next year. We're going to go back into obscurity. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? We're in the Sweet 16 last season, and we have a top 10 coach in the country.
I get it's the internet and people want to throw out wild takes, but like seriously, like Elon didn't buy Twitter for that trash of a take to come out there. So like, as if, like, we're gonna fall apart. Like seriously, like we just went to the Sweet 16 and we're not acting as if like Sean Miller doesn't have a buffer year. Like people do not forget to realize that like he got gifted really good talent last year and now he's dealing with the fact that he had to overtake a program. Like, yeah, he put the team back on the tracks last year, but he was going to have to deal with the year of the team not being on the tracks, taking it from what it had been those past 4 years. But we don't want
injuries
now because we're
and injuries and a rough schedule. Like, so there's a lot there. And I think
they just had to play the number one team in the country four times this year.
Right.
It's not like it's difficult or anything.
Right. Of course not. Of course not. Yeah, and that's another thing that stinks about injuries is like you could tell that non-conference schedule was not for a team that is only returning Dez. Like, and that's with all due respect to Dez, but like, you have two all Big East caliber players that aren't coming back. Like, our schedule was, and honestly, even if we had those players, why the heck did they give us Houston and Purdue in the Gavitt game? Like, we were going to be good. We were going to be that good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you're looking at last year, really last year, you're looking at having, you know, probably four of the, no, shit, I mean, five of the top probably 25 or 30 players in the Big East. I mean, yeah, you had true. Colby, you had Boom, you had, Nungy.
We were loaded.
I mean, it's insane. So you have Fremantle, you have Hunter. I mean, Hunter in the beginning of the year definitely wasn't a top 30 player in the Big East. But at the end of the year, the impact that he was making was definitely in the top 30 level of production. I don't know if anybody would have looked at him and said, there is a top 30 player in the Big East.
Well, enough talk about the serious stuff. Let's jump into the mailbag. Follow us on our Discord. Join that if you haven't. That's where you can ask mailbag questions. So we have some from our good friend of the podcast, Ahmad. He would like to know several things. If you could add anything to the CentOS Center to add to the already amazing environment, what would it be? Kenny, perhaps for you, it's an elevator from the barracks to courtside.
That would be nice, yeah. Or maybe an escalator. Question.
Fan club, is there anything you would like to add?
Yes. And then more bathrooms in the upper bowl. Ooh. I'm begging. So you can figure this out where I sit. I sit, 216? There are two bathrooms, and they're two just single, like, you got to go in there and it locks bathrooms, right? And it's like, I mean, now there is a secret bathroom, and I'm not going to reveal the location of the secret bathroom.
There is, though. It's nice.
But there needs to be more bathrooms, and there also needs to be more food options in the upper bowl, too. Stop forcing everyone to go down into the lower concourse where it's walking through a minefield to get through people at halftime, because half those people just want to get out and stand. You could do that at your seats, hot shots. when halftime starts, you have 15 minutes, okay? And sometimes I want to watch the kids jump rope or the dogs catch their frisbees. I don't want to have to wait 10 minutes to grab a beer and go to the bathroom.
Well, which order do you do that in?
Screw the Wi-Fi. Give me a toilet.
So do you grab a beer then go to the bathroom, or do you do bathroom then beer?
I'm not going to delve into my beer situation. No comment on my beer situation, but okay. The bathroom is the minute I know we're going into like an under four, under eight, I immediately shoot out and I run. I don't play game. I don't play.
That actually might lead into another question I think that we have.
Oh, yes, it will. And sorry to just skip you on that one, Cap, but whatever. According to Ahmad, studies show that 95% of people over 30 years old will never sprint again in their life. Now, I am not 30. I don't know how old you are, fan club. I don't think you're 30. So we are still in our 20s, but we'll answer the question anyways. When is the last time you full out sprinted and why? So let's start with Cap on this, since we skipped him on the last one. When's the last time you full on sprinted?
This is only a me and Kenny question, if we're being honest.
Right.
It is.
This is only a me and Kenny question. I would like to hear your guys' answers too. Tell me, like, sprint is hard to, like, because I'm like, I've done a hard run. You know what I mean? Like, zip them up comes to mind, for example. It's like, hey, JP needs XYZ from the locker room. And so, like, at a timeout, I'm booking it across the floor and going, but like, I'm not sprinting. I'm not like doing a 40. You know what I'm saying? Last time I sprinted was in like the Navy. But which was like 5 years ago. So there might be something to this over 30 deal here, Kenny. I think there might be something here.
Yeah, so I can confirm that I have full out sprinted since I was 30. My son, I took him. Have you guys ever been to those like tubing places where you like tube down the big snow hills?
Yeah.
And then they have like a little thing that pulls you back up, you know? So this place, this place that we went to, it was like a thing, and you would go down one hill and then it would level out and then another hill and then level out and then another hill. So my son was 4 years old at the time. And like, he had been asked, he just kept saying, can I go by myself? Can I go by myself? I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm going to go. My buddy Jared was up top and I was like, I'm going to go down and then Kenny's going to come down and I'm going to be down there and ready for him when he gets down to the bottom. I watched his tube start going and he got caught in the middle, right? Like he was just like stuck in the middle of this thing. And I saw the, you know, 14-year-old person that they had up there, like letting people go, just let somebody else go. So my son is just sitting there, 4 years old, sitting in a tube in the middle of this thing. And he's about to get crashed into by another person. And I literally had to run. I sprinted up a hill and then halfway up another hill to get to him. And as I grabbed him and pulled him out of the way, the kid that was coming down hit me in the legs. That's the last time that I full out sprinted. I thought I was gonna have a heart attack. It was like, I don't know if I've ever sprinted that hard in basketball, right? You know, my son is sitting there and I'm watching him about to get barreled by like a full size teenager. Man, I've never run that hard in my life. And it was like, these hills are not small. It was probably a good 100 feet and, you know, 40 of that's uphill.
Sheesh.
That was rough.
Damn, Xavier Bylot doesn't own that.
That's how my grandparents used to have to get to school.
Right, right.
Both ways.
They slid down to school and then ran back up.
Yeah. Sledded uphill both ways. Right. Jerome, what is your last time you've sprinted? You know, you're a young puppy, so you probably sprint all the time.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. So I will say I can't remember because I've had surgery recently. So the Jerome Hunter fan club's been couch ridden recently, but it probably was something I probably would have sprinted because I'm stupid, probably like to or from Cintas to Dana's, probably. It's probably mostly because I'm a dangerous fella after a W, but I don't, sprint. Shit.
Overrated. I know Coop has a sprinter van.
Yeah, I have a sprinter and a printer. I'd say the last time I sprinted was on a treadmill about a week ago, but if that does not count, the last time I can actually remember sprinting as someone who is 3 years away from being 30, not to flex, but was whenever I was driving back from Columbus. Sean Miller was not with me or any, he was in Arizona at this time, so it was years ago, and the car behind me had gone off the side of the road and fallen probably 200 feet down because we were on a bridge, and they smashed their car into an embankment in a riverbank. So we slammed on our brakes, pulled over and sprinted to see what was going on. And then they survived. By the grace of God, they survived. But that's the last time I remember sprinting. I feel like you don't forget a sprint.
You also don't forget when you feel like you maybe saved somebody's life.
Right? Oh, I didn't save anything.
Well, but I mean,
you saved me.
Maybe if you had not been there to witness them being alive, maybe they don't.
I like to think my prayer was one of them that was like, okay, yeah, yep, this closes the deal. Yep. So our
two heroes, Kenny and Coop.
Hey,
right.
Yeah, it is what it is. Whatever. So how about this? How about this? If you could only listen to one band or artist for the rest of your life, who would it be? I'm not saying, I don't think the question is nonstop. You have to listen to them. That'd be torture, but I think just if you only could pick one person musically to listen to, who would it be? We'll start with you, Kenny.
That's a pretty easy one for me. I would pick Eminem.
Okay.
I mean, I pretty much do that anyway. I shouldn't say that. I go from my music selection is odd, but I could listen to Eminem all the time. I never get sick of it, so.
Yeah, so you would say you lose yourself in Eminem's music?
Yeah, you're a pro.
Cap. One
Creed. Easy choice.
Yeah, okay.
Creed. That's not a troll answer. That's your answer.
No, that's a troll answer. off the top of my head, the real answer.
I mean, I'm not. Yeah, it's a great. I mean, they're great.
Higher's an absolute banger. Off the top of my head, probably J. Cole, but if I really, really think about it and I'm honest with myself, probably like Quinn or I don't know, maybe like surfaces, probably surfaces.
Yep. Don't know what that means. Have no.
They make like, it's like hip hoppy reggae, real chill beachy stuff.
Okay.
It's a real chill vibe. Surfaces are real chill.
My answer is Drake. Anyone who knows me knows that.
I'm shocked.
My answer. Fan club, if you could only listen to one artist for the rest of your life, musical artist, who would it be?
You know, oh my God, this is such a tough one. Because my problem is my music taste is so like current. I always switch. If I had to go with someone I would listen to the rest of my life, Bob Marley.
Interesting. Okay.
I feel like he's like someone I can always listen. Like, first of all, he's really good. Like, let's not get it twisted, right? But like, that's like music that could always like apply to like any situation, right? Like, because like, even if you're down, right, he's just like, get up, stand up, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm down
with a little Bob Marley, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm up with it, if you know what I mean. What kind of cheese is your favorite type of cheese? Let's go right back to fan club.
American.
Okay. That's awesome. Cap, what's your favorite type of cheese?
In a can.
I knew you were gonna say that. I knew I was getting spray cheese from one of you two.
You got to. I'm probably gonna go PJ Pepper Jack, baby.
Kenny?
Okay. Oh man, I'm a cheese connoisseur.
You're a cheese whiz. You are.
I'm a cheese whiz, yeah. man, I don't know.
Smoked Gouda.
You know, here's the thing. American cheese is good on just like everything. If I had to, I have to pick one, or is it my favorite cheese?
Just your favorite kind per year. Right.
So if it's not like one that I have to use for the rest of my life and I can't use any other, I wouldn't say American. Although American is one of my favorite cheeses.
I love how seriously he's taking
there's a cheese from Germany called Munster cheese and it's incredible. I love brie.
Is it Parmesan stinky?
Brie?
Was it Munster stinky? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, not really. I mean, there's different kinds, but I use not really. But I love blue cheese. I love feta cheese. I mean, I love goat cheese is incredible. I love cheese. I'm a big cheese guy. If I had to pick, I'm going to say blue cheese just because you're putting me on the spot.
Cheese head?
Yeah, I'm a cheese head. Cheese whiz. A lot of that, yeah. Well, no, I'm not a cheese head.
I was going to say, I was like, whoa.
I had to think about that for a second. Not a cheese head.
You were caught up on cheese.
Yeah, it's tough. That would be a tough question for me. I mean, there's like, you know, the cheeses that you use to make fondue, like Gruyere cheese. I mean, this question is insane. You guys are this is too hard.
I'm taking Mac and. I changed my answer.
Mac and cheese. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I don't know why they call it goat cheese because it certainly is not the greatest of all time.
I would disagree with you on that. Goat cheese, like goat cheese on like a salad with some almonds and some strawberries is.
Ooh. Classy.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man.
Classy picnic right there, big fella.
But I think we have had an entire podcast. We've talked about it all. An emotional roller coaster this podcast has been, just like this season. But as bad as things get, you can always get your favorite cheese. You can always listen to Bob Marley. You can always follow us on Twitter. You can follow Jerome Hunter Fan Club on Twitter and have a good old time. Kenny, I know you have two more words for us.
Yeah, stay blobbing.